La fleur de la solitude. Episode 9. Part 2. Les rêves indigo. Indigo dreams.
When were you disappointed by your parents for the first time? I know that this is nothing in comparison to what some kids go through while growing up. But for me, it was a moment of disappointment. An awakening moment in which my father lost his title of a hero. Especially later when he blamed me as a responsible person for everything that happened. Saying that if I hadn't stopped and insisted on watching the game, nothing of this would have happened. As if I had put a gun to his head to stay and watch people cheating. Who had more life experience, him or me?
Well, as you've said, this is the most benign way. Nothing in comparison to some people's experiences of finding out how their parents are not gods.
I know. But after that? After my main male hero was killed? I felt terribly alone. Scared, without any protection.
I believe you. I felt like that when no one looked for me. When no one came to France to take me back home.
But how do you know that no one looked for you? I mean, as you told me, no one knew that you went to France.
Because I wasn't loved enough.
Wow. Wow. I can't believe that this is coming from your mouth. But you can't be sure. The times were different.
You know how you know it's love? They go over mountains and seas to find you.
But you are the one who left all of them.
And among all of them, no one missed me so much to look for me. When there is a will, there is a way. When there is no will, there are only excuses. I've just realized maybe I left because I subconsciously thought like that.
But maybe, Al, they think the same just for you.
Maybe, but we will never find out, right?
Oh, Al, but how come you are so negative about all this?
No, au contraire, je suis positif. I am just realistic and I accepted the things the way they are. The only possible way to have a so-called peaceful life.
But maybe they were scared to dig and maybe find out the worst possible news about you, so they preferred to live with hope.
Well, of course they were. Do you learn about people who did something extraordinary in their life, in their own time, or the ones who just let things go? I mean, those who lived regular lives will be memorized only by one or maximum two generations after them.
Okay, so what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. The question is the people's first choice. How did they live? Do they regret not doing certain things that could have brought them more fulfilling lives?
But I guess everyone regrets something. That's normal.
Who said that? It is not the same when you are a small individual repressed by society and you really cannot make a difference. In most cases, we can make a difference. But eventually we don't do it, right? Remember when I was talking about the burdens that in some weird way we like to have? How we like to be sufferers and victims?
Oh, I read about experiment about how punishment affects learning and memory.
Voila! The fact that 65% of people are willing to do whatever authority figures tell them to do is just devastating for our society. It is. But my family didn't have to listen to the leader of the country or a bishop.
But how do you know?
Of course, I don't know that. But the topic here is that people are not listening to themselves. Your dad listened to you that day, or I would say that was only an excuse, so he wouldn't admit that to you or himself. In crucial situations where we need to make some big decisions, we like to transfer the responsibility. It is obvious that being a sheep, an animal today, is a privilege. When they are jeopardized, they fight for their lives. And when we, I mean people's lives, are jeopardized, we don't.
I'm not so proud to be a human. But can I change my skin?
No. And tell me, where does all this come from?
From people's pure ignorance.
And why are people ignorant today? Why? We live in the economically most prosperous time of humanity ever, when everyone with access to the internet can get any information, and still people choose to be superficial, ignorant, small, and powerless.
But it's simple, they're afraid.
Of course they are afraid. They are afraid of finding out that the way they lived by now was false, and that everything in their lives is an illusion. But not the one that your indigo friend was talking about, as everything is an illusion, but the simple personal deception. Also, they will have to admit that they have the power, which they are denying all the time. And all that means that they have to take some responsibility for everything that's happening in the world. Oh la la! People don't vote for themselves. They don't stand up for themselves because the ones who are inside are sleeping. We all prefer sleeping over getting up, rolling up our sleeves and doing some work. Bien sûr. Commenting from our comfortable sofas is much easier. Why are we surprised when people vote for bad politicians when since always it was easier to blame others for the bad choices than ourselves, whom we've never met? Oy. The loudest ones among us are those who know nothing. And as they surround themselves with the similar ones, their courage grows in groups, and they only intensify their so-called opinion. You know that our inability to bear suffering, among other things, has also been the cause of our cravings for happiness. Our lifestyle borders on dilettantism. We only seek pleasure and avoidance of unpleasant experiences. Everything has to have some purpose. Nothing is done for its own sake but for some goal, and it eventually leads us to ill will. Our vocation serves us to earn money. Sociability makes interpersonal connections. Material goods elevate us in front of others. Rest serves to improve health. We constantly sacrifice today for tomorrow. And instead of the desired happiness, we create envy, which in turn brings suffering. Et quoi? This is followed by the disintegration of the family, which gives greater freedom, way, and mobility, but also an inordinate desire for travel and entertainment.
What are you insinuating?
You know, above my parents' bed, there was a proverb. Only these two life columns never fail. The prayer and the work. Respect them for the good of your soul.
What are you telling me, El?
Please let me finish. These two columns were once a foundation, but they are long gone. People don't pray anymore, and they work just for money so they can fulfill their other wishes. No one is dedicated to one calling. When their job is too hard, they change it.
You mean like me?
No, not like you. But you know what I'm talking about. Je parle d'un monde perdu. I'm talking about, Frida, the lost world. Our vocation tells us a lot about ourselves. Et bien sûr, it is normal to change some jobs until we find our true passion. But is it normal to be in your 40s and not know where your place is? Where is your peace and space for growth and joy? The world also went crazy with this idea of eternal youth. Everyone wants to look younger. Ah, here's your answer. That's why your knees fell apart. You were too flexible.
Oh, yeah? And what about bamboo tree?
What? Are you a tree? Were you in the womb for 5 years preparing before showing yourself to the world? No. No extreme is good. Again, balance is the solution. If we are too flexible, we shouldn't force it. If we are too tight, we should adapt a bit.
You are right. Everyone looks the same and at the same time wants to look and be special. Yeah. We don't know anymore the difference between a mother and a grandmother and a granddaughter. Yeah, you're right.
I am right. It's not important who is right or not. But in our profession, we call it regression. And this is how we become caricature. Écoute-moi. Caricature. Distorted images of youth. And that is called infantilism. It comes from rejecting responsibility and maturity, and the consequence of youth adoration is lowering the value of older people. Their dignity and value is measured by their utility. The most important values of today are productivity and working ability. They matter more than presence. And there is no space for illness, for suffering, old age, or for dying. Everything that's not useful is thrown away. And all these topics become, what, a taboo.
Yes. Yes. Death is something we bypass in all possible ways, like it is not part of our lives. Some of my generation cannot talk about it.
People are dying outside of their houses. Flowers are left during the night in front of the doors. There is no physical contact with dead ones. They are taken to morgue during the night in silence. Also, it is easier for families in mourning not to inform about their lost family member because it hurts less. It hurts less when so-called friends and family don't come to the funeral because they are not informed. Did you know that in some countries before, there was a funeral messenger?
Really?
Yeah. Yes, there was a friend of the deceased one. The one who would inform others about their neighbor's death, wearing a mournful face, and at the same time he would invite people to a funeral.
Oh my God. I'm just imagining if it was me. Oof, this is an awful assignment.
Well, yeah, it is not so comfortable, huh? But at the end, it is an honor also. It is clear that society doesn't want to think about transients. No more black clothes, no year of mourning. No more. Kids are far away in every spectrum of it. And then we are surprised when they cannot accept death as a part of our lives. I understand that death doesn't bring cheerful thoughts. But the one who doesn't think of the end of life lives in a spiritual and meaningful void. In the Abyss.
What to say? Most of us are like that on this planet. In order to become happy individuals, we create this boundless self-love lifestyle that's obviously making this society become autistic. And all that's left that matters is the pleasure and incapability of nurturing close, warm-hearted, and honest relationships.
And what about your song, Tijo? That is really a nice song. It makes a difference. Good that I don't drive. I would fall asleep while listening to it.
Really?
Well, the rhythm, les fréquences, frequencies, but it's close to a lullaby.
It could be. Yeah. For adults to cool their heads in moments of frustration and anger. Maybe I should listen to it later. I haven't listened to my music since I was in Paris.
Well, when you listen to it, it's not easy to get angered. It puts you in the mood of wholeness, oneness, in the mood for love. What or who was the inspiration?
Life?
Not a specific man. Oh, or a woman?
Well, isn't that life? No. The song vibrates from peace, because it came from peace to me. I don't know, the best decisions I made were when I was in peaceful state. You cannot fight the waves. Otherwise, they will drown you.
The waves. Well, I haven't seen them. For ages.
Yeah, me too. I mean, since last summer. Well, I hope that I will see them soon. In a few weeks. I would say, yeah, in a few weeks. Last days in Zagreb were pretty stormy, as if it's not summer. But now all's fine. I don't move too much, so it's okay. But if the weather changes and I keep going with my leg like this, this way...
Why? What's wrong?
No. Oh, fine, but I'm not sure that my recovery is going well. My knee is still very swollen, and it's been 3 weeks since the operation. And I still cannot lift my leg.
You cannot walk?
No, I mean, yeah, but only with the crutches. But my thigh muscle, my quad, it's dead, I think.
Frida, what are you saying? Oh, a muscle can be dead. Frida, don't scare me.
Well, of course, it's not literally dead. But it just doesn't do what's supposed to do. It's function, you know? And now some people around me got worried, and that worry has now been transmitted to me. I don't know. I started my rehab process the second day after the operation, right away. So I really don't know what I'm doing wrong.
But what do doctors say?
He doesn't know. My next checkup is in a few weeks.
What? He doesn't see you for more than a month after the operation?
Yeah, that's kind of normal.
Oh, mon Dieu. Imagine what would happen if I see my patients every month or two, and I only talk to them.
Well, that's not the same. But yeah, I agree. It's weird. It's weird. Someone sees the part of you that you will never see and then spends a few minutes with you, asking you how you are and telling you the phases of your recovery process. But in the end, you have to do everything on your own. These therapists show you a few exercises and that's it. You are on your own.
These surgeons. Well, they are really some special kind of people in their own world.
And you and I are really something usual to see, right? Okay.
But have you ever thought a bit more about why there are so many issues with your knees, mademoiselle?
I did, for sure. I needed to slow down to learn how to live the way I live today.
When it comes to the energies, any pain may indicate that there is a conflict between where one part of you wants to go and where the rest of you actually is. For example, is your heart yearning to go somewhere your feet don't want?
But of course, my heart wants to dance, but my feet don't allow me.
Same here, but really. Do you recall how you felt in your body and where were you in your life when it happened for the first time? Second or third? What was your relationship to your roots then? To the land and the town you lived in? To your family? Was there something you were having trouble letting go of?
It was a really long time ago now. But all that you asked sounds meaningful today, yeah. Not because I remember each of those moments, no. But because of the person that I became today. Who knows how many times I've been in this situation, not being able to walk properly. Also, I have no concentration to work and feel more trapped than ever.
But you've done so much work. All the fruit of your work is here. It's obviously time to rest. To have a long dessert rest. People also have to learn that nowadays.
It is okay to slow down from time to time. But why has life been slowing me down for the last 15 years? I don't know what one's got to do. But still, after all the things that I've done, I still feel as if it's not enough. My work, my faith, the deep search brought so much to me, yes. They brought fruit onto the table, but still, things don't roll by themselves. It's not enough to feed myself. I want to feed others. Our hands can be of gold. If no one's paying the price for it, it makes no difference.
Oh, my overthinker. You really do need a rest. Let's go somewhere together.
You plan to put me on your back?
You are already on my back. So, what's the difference? Where would you like to go, huh? If now, you could go wherever you want to go. Chérie, where would that be?
Wait. There are also many places I haven't seen. Portugal? Istanbul? Italy? France? But wait, can I go to the places I've already been?
Bien sûr, ma chérie, wherever you want. The power of imagination, is proven to be almost as efficient as the real experience. Let's move that muscle. What can you lose? And I will play Tijo in the background.
I would go...
Don't tell me. Take me there.
It's a warm summer day. The one without moisture in the air. Air is refreshing. It's cooling my bronze skin. While small drops of salty water spray onto my legs. I find myself on a cliff, 6-7 centimeters from its edge. On one of two peninsulas of my hometown. A small tourist Mediterranean town protected by one of the biggest mountains in my country, where first traces of life date from 6,000 years before Christ. With my eyes closed, beside the sounds of crickets, seagulls, and the waves hitting the cliffs. From my right side, in the distance, I hear people on the beach. And the sound of traffic from the center of the town. All this nourishes my restlessness. All these sounds are too loud for my current needs, and none of them can I control. My breath is the mistral. Constant, humid summer wind of moderate strength that's gently rubbing my heavy long hair. And and my grounding is the attachment of my bare feet to this prehistoric ground corroded by the salt of merciless wild water. At the moment, my head is heavy, full of two dense, fast thoughts attacking me like those unpredictable seagulls attacking people's food nowadays. I'm opening my eyes. Nothing changed in front of me as I was leaning onto my auditory senses. This huge, indigo blue liquid blanket is still dominating the view. Yeah. Dancing its force out. It's not about me. But still, everything is about me. I am my thoughts. But still, I am not my thoughts. I can't change them. I want to change them, but still, they're not changing. In order to do that, first I have to pour out these contaminating ones so the new enlightening can fill the space. No place for both streams. As much as I want this change, I know I cannot have it because I want it so much. So now, I don't want anything. Just to be present and accept what is here. I start breathing slowly, with soft, whispering breath. It is not that simple to get into a neutral state of mind when we are attacked by ourselves and our thoughts. It's not simple. Diseases are caused by us. Body doesn't know what can happen, but the brain does. Brain sees all the potential outcomes. That's how it can protect the body and strengthen it. Somewhere in this rush hour of thoughts, I meet my cocooned fear. Fear that cold water would stop my heart beating and that my weak body would not manage to get out of the sea. For a moment, I imagine myself on a towel surrendering to the sun. No, a new will showed up. I will confront my comfort zone for the bigger picture. Since I was a kid, I preferred to sunbathe if the sea was not still. But the company of other children would make a difference. And in order not to be mocked, I would jump and survive every time. Like with everything in our lives, what didn't kill us made us stronger. Even though I come from the south, cold sea was never my first choice. But a cool head was what it always offered. And today, I need it. I need it more than ever to wash all my burdens and help me get aligned again. No one knows what's happening inside of me. How a small, insignificant decision can make a whole fuss inside of us. Luckily, my experience is in charge. And it is just a question of a moment when my body will lose all its weight and become one. One with the sea. I am a few seconds away from my today's new experience. now there comes a new obstacle. A fear that my knee wouldn't allow me to reflect while jumping. No thoughts, no, no, no thoughts, no thoughts, no thoughts, no! My body is not mine anymore. This indigo subject took it for its own. My body is not mine. Thoughts vanished for a second. It's not even so cold. My knee doesn't hurt. I made it. I did it. I conquered my head. But my head is still heavy. It's a bit coldish. But I swim. I will swim. I will warm myself up by swimming fast against the stream. And I will be better in a few moments. I take a deep breath and start swimming freestyle by alternating limb movements. As I feel my left leg is not as strong as the right one, I start focusing on the rhythm and the conscious muscle contraction. It feels weird. I use all my efforts to contract my thigh muscles, my quads and hamstrings. But under the water, I feel as if nothing's moving. This giant force took all my power. Anyway, I keep focusing on conscious movements and I swim. I swim as never before. They say this indigo blue color makes the biggest difference in knee recovery. After a few minutes, I lose my breath and start noticing the loss of strength. The mind was right. I slowed down and started thinking about why this happens. How do those free divers manage not to breathe for more than 20 minutes? How do they reach that point? How do we use our thoughts for our benefit? Maybe I should try free diving, starting in the pool. Maybe then I could manage to cool my head down before I go to the sea again. Sea is not always nearby. Sea is almost never nearby. How can I bring the sea to me? How can the sea come every day to me?
Dio, budi Dio il ciucer, ure, pusti ure, od njih samo oglušit ćeš. Tiho, budi tiho i vidit ćeš. Viruj, pusti nadu, od nje samo oslipit ćeš. Budi tiho. njih samo oglušit ćeš.